This letter, you can tell it was a letter written talking about what was important to this writer and also hearing the grave responsibility that he or she was given. May these words be to God's glory. Here we are, talking about prayer. Talking about prayer again. What did he say, or she? I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving should be made for everyone. Here we are again, talking about prayer. Sometimes I think I'd rather talk about prayer in a sermon than anything else. Prayer is where it all begins and ends in a spiritual journey. When we get up, when we go to bed, when we live and breathe. I've even told my confirmands when they say, oh God, that they're praying. And they look at me a little strange. And we go on. Prayer isn't about reciting or memorizing a catechism. It isn't about being scripturally proficient. And it isn't about being so special that you are above others. It's simpler than that. It's about you being you. Being the best you. Living in the best way you can live in the day. But by the best, I never mean perfect. None of us are perfect. And God knows it. When we think about a spiritual life, we often blanch at the thought, why, how could I even think about being a spiritual person? Who? Me? I am so flawed. Who wants to be a spiritual person anyway? I mean, what's the payout? From personal experience, I can tell you that practicing as if I were a spiritual person helps me move through life's bumps and life's difficulties a little easier than it might otherwise. Sometimes things happen to us and they surprise us or they make us sad or they make us angry. Sometimes when those things happen, maybe from inside of ourselves or outside of ourselves because of something someone else did, we want to run away, we want to blame others. But to be honest, there are all kinds of surprises. All kinds of surprises, many of which we don't even know are coming, but are still difficult to take. It's like that game we played, Hot Potato, where, that was before people were all on their phones, they did play games like Hot Potato. Hot Potato was like somebody heated up a potato, and then you had people sitting in a circle, and they passed the potato around, and that was the, if you were left with it, you had the hot potato, and I don't remember what you had to do. You had to do something, sing or something. Those times are pretty uncomfortable. We don't know what it means when people are asking us to do something new or when we're surprised. Sometimes the best thing we can do is really, really just get up and get going and get going again and when we're confused. I had a disappointing situation happen some years ago, and I didn't know how to handle it, and nobody I knew was home. Everybody was working, so I went to a yoga class. Yoga is the sort of kind of thing where you can cry and nobody will notice you. So I sat in the back and I listened to the master's instructions about standing up straight and having good posture and putting my shoulders back and thinking about being a vessel of truth. And then I remember I glanced outside and it was springtime. And springtime is a big deal in the Midwest, I will tell you, because that means winter is over. And I realized that all things change. Sometimes things leave us, and sometimes things go forward, and sometimes things are new. Somehow, in this moment of thinking about keeping my shoulders back and keeping my posture straight, I knew I would find a way. I knew that we have blessings that come to us from everywhere. Sometimes it's that silly saying about, maybe some of you have this as a magnet on your refrigerator, you know, we really can make lemonade out of lemons. We really can. We can take things that have been difficult and we can make them make ourselves better. Now, I'm just an ordinary person, just like you, and I have in my life had some pretty difficult situations, and some have laid me low for months, made me depressed and sad and worried that I was never going to get up again. So me diving into a spiritual path seems the logical, necessary place for me to go. For when it seems like there's nothing, there's always God. Always God. God is always there in everything, always available. Our God is an everyday God, with us every day, to support us, to stand with us, to grieve with us. But our God is never afraid like we are. God is never worried like we are. And God doesn't get sick like we do. We're always God's first priority. For we know that all of God's wishes and goals and plans are carried out by the people. The people who have created enough care for each other, to care for the earth, to care for where we live and who we live with. We can get discouraged, especially if we're unemployed, or we're sick, or we're lonely, or someone has just passed on. Or, as my mother used to say, I'm just generally punk today. These are both the best of times because they give us an opportunity to go deeper into our spiritual selves, and they're the worst of times because we're sad. But these are absolutely the times to come to community, to be with others, and to praise God. So why is it that we so often do the opposite? When life is tough, what do? We think God's given up on us, nobody likes us, and we're terrible people. How is that happening to us? No. When something goes wrong, something is a difficulty, instead of that, we presume we have something to learn. We presume God is with us. Human beings, we make mistakes. We mess up. And probably the biggest thing we do is our messing up is presume that God doesn't love us anymore, that we're not good enough. How could she love me? How could he? Why, at this moment, if I don't even love me, how could God love me? I think that's the point. The point is that God loves us regardless, always regardless. It doesn't matter whether you're in prison or whether you are finding yourself doing really well in your life, God loves you regardless. I often find that it's when we've forgotten God, forgotten that God is with us in the day, that's when we may be most likely to run across God, a little something that brings us back to our senses. For me, I often find God in sunsets, sunrises, going to water, whether it's the ocean or the lakes. Then you see something, right? In fact, Chrissy and Naomi and I went to the ocean last week, and I saw a shark fin. They didn't see it, but I saw it. And they tried to see it, and it was gone, but I saw it. And then I asked a friend who spends a lot of time at the ocean, and she said, yeah, there were lots of sharks there that day. Sometimes we see things. Sometimes we hear things. Sometimes we know things. Nobody else knows it. Nobody else saw it. Nobody else but God. I think that it's these beautiful, surprising moments when we're together with others and we share who we are with another person that we recognize the beauty in our lives and the beauty in others' lives. I think the surprising, beautiful moments are about being in prayer. It's not always sitting gently, quietly in a holy place. It can sometimes be in traffic. It can sometimes be anywhere you are, you can pray. A spiritual journey is only about one thing. It's about recognizing we're not alone. You're not alone, not ever. It's part of our spiritual journey when the powers that be bring us together in this sanctuary on Sunday morning, on this morning. It's here we can say, right, everything's good. We're all right. We can manage the troubles that are coming our way or that are things we're dealing with. We're not alone. We're living a prayer. And all we need to do is remember as we leave this place and as I leave this place that as long as we can gather with the understanding that God's definition of community is to be together, to help each other, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Not necessarily forever, not necessarily in a way that we would always like, but yes, to love nonetheless. I have a very favorite poet, and his name is John O'Donohue, and he wrote a book called To Bless the Space Between Us. And I'd like to end this morning and just read this to you. Perhaps the art of harvesting the secret riches of our lives is best achieved when we place profound trust in the act of beginning. Risk might be our greatest ally. To live a truly creative life, we always need to cast a critical look at where we presently are, attempting always to discern where we might have become stagnant and where a new beginning might be ripening for us. There can be no growth if we do not remain open and vulnerable to what is new and what is different. He goes on to say, I have never seen anyone take a risk for growth that was not rewarded 1,000 times over. I have never seen anyone take a risk for growth that was not rewarded 1,000 times over. You are in a place now of new beginnings with a wonderful person to be with you, with Lauren Shields, to teach you about what she knows as she holds this holy place while you decide who you are together as a church and be part of new beginnings. Let us pray. Precious God, we are grateful that you are our God, that you bring us together in times of prayer and in times of joy and difficulties, in times of celebrations and in times of quiet. Gracious God, we ask that you help us to remember every day, all the time, that you love us regardless of anything we have done or thought or said or been, that you love us and are with us as our friend and companion. In the name of Jesus the Christ, gracious God, may we hear these words. Amen.